Hey guys, welcome to the AFL Finals edition of The Landing with AFL Benny. Thanks for coming on, Benny.
Thanks for having me back again, Ollie.
So we've got a big week ahead, especially the final game of the weekend being Dogs versus Bombers. So we're going to give our thoughts on that because we're both pretty passionate fans. So it'll be a good insight to basically how we're feeling this week and also our kind of tactical thoughts for the game. I'm going to start off. Sorry, Benny, I'll probably need to take the first few minutes just to talk about my doggies. So if you remember our first AFL pod, what was that, maybe 10 weeks ago, like halfway through the season, I was flying. Bont was favourite for the Brownlow. Dogs were somewhat looking like the flag favourite. And then the last month of the season, we kind of crashed down into, I don't know what we are these days. I honestly watch some of these games. I'm just like, how is this the same season as what we were earlier? We've had a few injuries, but nothing like too extreme that you kind of like think, oh, you can't really like bounce back from it. But yeah, I've been in the bin this week since that Port Adelaide loss. It was one of probably for me the toughest Doggies loss probably off memory for the last like 10 years, I'd say, probably since the prelims of like the early 2010s. But yeah, I'll give a little anecdote of my Friday night. So I was pretty excited for the game.
As you would be.
Yeah, fire up Fridays, came home from work, steamed in, started having some quiet beers, just trying to calm the nerves. Thought I was pretty confident because I thought, yeah, the Bombers game, like, although it was close, but like, it was a bit like, we'll talk about it later, but like we couldn't kick straight. And the Bombers could kick straight. And also we didn't have Alex Keith to put on 2 meter Peter. But I thought, okay, look, you're bound to have a couple of losses later on in the year, especially if you've been up all year. I thought, look, I'd rather have a loss now than in the finals. Still thinking that we'd make top four. Then the Hawthorn game, we just never showed up to Tasmania. Credit to the Hawks. They played very well. Absolutely torched us everywhere. I thought, okay, look, that's enough. That's enough, boys. Like, two losses is enough. Let's get a huge win against Port Adelaide. It was a must win for top four. And then obviously it was a heartbreaking night. And I think we'll touch on it a bit later when I include Benny a bit in the conversation. But obviously losing a close one like that. And to be honest, I think it was lucky that it was that close. I didn't think we played very well throughout a lot of the game, but I stormed out of my living room, went into my bedroom, lay face down and just had a bit of a moment to myself. Then was just like, okay, it's Friday night. Let's try and fire up. Walk outside into the living room, try and have a couple more beers. Just wasn't me. Go outside on the couch, lie down. Ethan comes out, gives me a big hug and kind of like sorts me out a bit. But geez, I've been in the bin since. Bont is no longer Brownlow for the favorite for the Brownlow. Sorry. The Dogs sneak into fifth after being top four for 20 rounds out of the 23 or 19 or something like that, something ridiculous. But yeah, so as a Doggies fan, I'm trying to stay as confident as possible. But yeah, it's been one of the worst ends to a season. Like, surely, like, it's got to be some record in regards to just being in top four and then not making it. But, yeah, I've been pretty upset. And then now we face a Bombers team that have won their last three and the Dogs have lost their last three, and including a loss to the Bombers. And then you guys are playing with house money, which is never a good thing. Like, never a good thing to play against because as a Doggies fan, I know that in 2016, we played with it every week. But yeah, so it's been a pretty aggressive fall from grace. But I'm staying confident. So it's going to be an interesting Sunday. So Benny, I'll let you speak now. What are your initial thoughts on, what are your thoughts on the Dogs last month of the season first off?
Well, as you said, like the Essendon Dogs game, it was just kind of a bit of a weird game. I thought the Dogs were dominant at times. I know I had written down for when we covered the game a bit later that you guys had 60 inside 50s to 39 in that game. And
that.
And Essendon scored 70 points from stoppages, which is just, both of those numbers are kind of outrageous. So it was a bit of a strange one. And I just kind of penciled it down to every now and again, you see a top team just drop a game that they shouldn't. And I just thought that that was that for the Dogs. And then it was kind of capped off with a really unfortunate injury in Josh Bruce, and we weren't really sure how that was going to affect the Dogs.
Yeah.
The Hawks loss, it can't be understated as about how they've performed against top teams, especially in the back half of the year. But that's not to say that the Dogs shouldn't be getting that job done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I sort of somewhat gave it a pass to maybe finding out how they were best going to cope without Josh Bruce. And then coming to that last game, I thought, no, Bont's going to put his foot down here. That's enough. They'll get back on track.
And he started so well.
He did. And it was interesting to hear you say that you didn't think you played too well, because my opinion of the game was I actually thought you guys played quite well in the first half. I know they missed some shots.
Really?
But I thought you were on top in the first half. I don't think Luke Beveridge certainly would have been disappointed with how the game was going. And then, yeah, in the second half, it was just Port got stuck, everything on their terms, and we sort of started to see again what we'd seen in the prior 2 weeks. Which has sort of led us to where we are now, with some questions being raised over the Dogs leading into finals. But yeah, we'll get into the game, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I just like thought it's interesting that you think that you thought we played all right in the Port. I just thought we were so patchy that you're just not going to consistently win games playing that sort of style. And I thought, although we came out flying, which so we should have off based on like the last 2 weeks, we just couldn't put them to the sword. And earlier in the season, that was something that I found so exciting as a fan, was that I thought for the first time, we actually looked like a bit of a powerhouse where we would get on top of games and actually just put teams away, which in recent years, we just didn't do. It was more so like, it would always be in that weird, like, kind of like limbo stage where it's like, look, we're winning by like 25 points, but you don't actually feel too confident just based on how our history. And I think
that sort of, you can't like lie back in your seat.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, sort of feeling. Yeah.
Like there was a few games this year where even if we were down, I still felt like we were on top of the game. I was just like, look, we'd kind of just turn it on, similar to kind of like how like a lot of those Warriors regular season games would go. Like back like 5 years ago. And I think that's why it's so disappointing now, is that being top four would have been just such like a nice validation of such a good year. But I guess as much as that would have been nice, you do really get what you deserve in footy. And I think if you've got to, like we had, so we put ourselves in a position to have the opportunity to play top four. And like we had multiple opportunities, which a lot of teams like don't get that many chances, and we just couldn't take any of them. I think that was like kind of disappointing. And honestly, like a lot of our like midfield just looked really tired. Just seemed really tired. Like I think Bont in the last few, I don't know where, like obviously he played a lot of forward, including playing some ruck, which we'll get into in a sec, which I'll probably fire up for. But I think Bont looked a bit tired. We all looked a bit tired. And I think that's somewhat disappointing to see, because we want to be fired up for like coming into the finals, and it leaves the fans stressing so much about like, we just don't, like our last win was against Adelaide. I think we played, yeah, it was Adelaide then Melbourne. And we like, I was so confident after the Melbourne win, because I thought like we lost to Melbourne earlier in the season, and we got lost to the Cats in a close one. So I kind of felt like we needed that, and we got that. And then from there, it just all went downhill. So very disappointing, but got to stay optimistic. And now talking about Sunday's game, because we'll start with Sunday's game, then move into Friday and Saturday. But I think we've just got too much to talk about with the Dogs versus Dons, so I think we have to fire up like that first. First of all, congratulations on making the 8.
Thank you.
It's an absolute treat. And I do. It's unfortunate because I really do like this Bombers team. I think you remember me saying that halfway through the year. I was quite on them. But geez, now I'm finally off them.
It's been such a turnaround for this team. You know, preseason predictions was saying how this was a 15th through 18th side, and to be fair, that's exactly the same thing I was saying. We lost to Port, I think, in round two, and I remember watching Jay Clark on Footy Talk Show, and he was saying, because I think that was the game Sam Draper went down and Dylan Scheel went down. Yep. And he's like, look, this is already a bottom four side. They've just lost two key members of this side. And he was talking about how I really don't see how this team doesn't start 0-9 and plays North Melbourne to see who gets their first win of the season. And so, like, you look at that kind of stuff and the turnaround this group's had in the back half of the year, they've started to find a bit of identity and, you know, they really just, like, love playing for each other, it seems. Like, there's a lot of joy in that group. Yeah. And, you know, there was a part of me that sort of thought they might get ahead of themselves by making finals. But once you get that close and you've got the opportunity to do it, the experience that they can get by playing in finals is going to be great.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I remember that being a talking point in the media maybe like it was like 6 weeks ago, I'm going to say. And I remember Lloydo saying, like, I think missing the finals could be for the best for the Bombers. Is that correct?
Yeah, along those lines. Yeah.
And I remember you – I don't get me wrong, I love Matthew Lloyd. He's one of my favourite media members. But I actually like strongly disagree with that statement. I think all experience is good, is like always just a good thing. And I think having this, like having a final now, because I, for example, I know like the Dogs, we've lost elimination finals the last 2 years. And I know that a lot of these younger guys, giving them that like game is always just going to kind of pay off later on. And I don't think you can't be too cute about how you play an AFL season. And you can't like I know Lloydo was just like kind of like hoping that it just did, as what you said, like didn't want to get ahead of themselves. But I do really think that it's a good thing for this group. And I think like, why wouldn't they want to play? I've always just found that like point by him quite interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is like, you've only got to look at a couple of teams that didn't make finals this year. You know, you lose a couple of your final games and all of a sudden with the way the eight shaked out and the people that just missed, you find yourself in 11th or 12th. And I think, you know, from his point of view is like he still views and a lot of people within like the Essendon community view this Essendon project. It's still at a minimum 2 years off being what they hope to be, you know, a top four side if they can get there through development.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're still going to get that natural progression next year, you're still going to get finals experience next year if you continue on the right trajectory. And so I think his point was sort of like, why not have a higher draft pick if you're just going to bounce out in the first week and then come back next year, and then you'll be able to get that finals experience next year anyway, and then you kick on from there, hopefully, as this group grows and gets older and gets more pre-seasons into them, you start to look at what they might be like 2 years down the track.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. But I reckon that's just being too cute with it. Like, first of all, the draft pick that you get, like how different would it be to finishing eighth? You know what I mean? Like, what is it, like two or three more like earlier picks? Like,
yeah.
Like,
and I think you've only got to look at like the strike rate of those picks. And like, what's to say pick eight is going to be a better player than pick 11?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no guarantees at that point.
And I think there's more to giving all your younger players, like giving them a bone and actually showing, okay, hang on, we can actually compete for finals. Like, I think that's like, I think that for me is just way more important than a few extra, like a earlier draft pick.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is, like, I think he made that comment before the Dogs game. And I think he was sort of maybe trying to potentially spin a missing of the eight positively for the Essendon fans. I think, you know, make sure that they're aware of the fact that this is still a, despite them overachieving in terms of expectation at the start of the season, just trying to refocus them on the fact that this team, you know, has done really well this year, but everything's about winning a premiership, and that end goal is probably still a couple of years down the track at, you know, in terms of where they think they might be, hopefully. So I think he was just trying to put a positive spin on a loss that they'd had that week. But yeah, as you say, any finals experience is good experience.
Yeah.
Especially from an Essendon point of view, where there's just been none in the club for so long.
Yeah, well, I can't say I'm not violently nervous about being the team that gives you that that finals win, but I really hope we aren't that guy. But like,
pretty well close to 6,200 days today, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm keen to see. Like, I'm interested to see what happens to that page when it ends, which won't be this weekend, but down the line. So let's get to the game on Sunday, 3:20. It was at University of Tasmania in Launceston.
Launceston, yep.
If you had to give your ideal team, does it stay? What are the changes you make? Are there any force changes? Give me anything you have.
I think the force change that happens if he gets the green light is Kyle Langford is a definite to come back in.
Yep.
He was a whipping boy for Essendon supporters just a few years ago, but he's just integral to what they do now, and he's actually sort of grown into a little bit of a leader in the club. And he's a dead eye in front of goal if he can get forward and take a grab. So I think he comes in if he gets ticked off. But I think the bigger question mark is Tipper. And for him, I think it's a matter of like...
That was personal reasons, wasn't it?
It was. So like, you know, we're not going to speculate or anything like that. But I think that's just purely a conversation, an honest conversation that needs to happen between Truck and him, whether he feels as though he can give 100% on the weekend or not.
Yep.
I believe he's been doing some heavy training block in the last 2 weeks and played the practice game fully that they sort of had amongst some other teams on the weekend. But to beat the Dogs, I think we need him because I think you need to be able to put up a big score. And I think we need to have multiple weapons down there.
Yeah.
Because 2 meter Peter's not going to kick 7 again. But yeah, they're the only two for mine. There's, you know, other names that have been thrown around, but
yep.
I'm a big believer in the fact that this team has sort of found a bit of momentum in the back half of the year, even like these last few games, more specifically. And
yep. To just ride the wave.
You don't want to upset it too much, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my
Dogs.
Yeah, I was happy you asked. I was about to launch on it anyway. Is where we did. It's interesting. Like our teams are very like differing in a lot of ways in regards to you guys being on a win streak, us being on a losing streak, and your team kind of having some consistency, whereas ours has been a bit patchy. So we've obviously had Josh Bruce out for a couple of weeks now, which was an absolute killer, especially just because he's had such a for him personally as well. Just he's had such a great year. And
he was phenomenal this year.
It was awesome. Outstanding. And like he was definitely just a bit of a meme. Over the last couple of years, especially last year, he was pretty awful. But a lot of people had some strange years last year in regards to the hub season. But
yeah,
that was just awful because on all accounts, like Josh Bruce seems like a ripper bloke as well. So it really hurts to not have him around. But in regards to the biggest issue for the Dogs is which has obviously been all over the media as well, is the ruck issue. So I've got some initial thoughts. Obviously, Tim English showed patches earlier in the year of being like that number one ruckman, but it was definitely usually when he was backed up by either Steph Martin or Jordan Sweet. And I think ever since he got concussed, he was out for, because a lot of people just think that as soon as you get concussed, you're out for a week, then you're back. But I think what, at least from my, from what I've like observed this season, both Norton and English both got concussed in like similar to parts of the season. And they both just haven't been the same since coming back. I think, and obviously I've personally never been concussed, but I think there is a lot of, it's hard to kind of know what the recovery is like for something like that. Cause I think
it's very, it's very unique to everyone in the way that, like, you think about like Joel Selwood could get a head knock and, you know, it could be a knee to the head at full force. He'd probably just bounce straight back up.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you get someone else. Obviously you go to the extreme, which is sort of like a Paddy McCartan back when he played, but he got them frequently. But like, yeah, everyone recovers from them at a different rate. It's not like a standard hamstring where it's like it's 3 or 4 weeks and then you're back.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's been interesting to see, well, not interesting, well, it's been interesting, but not good interesting, seeing those guys battle, because Norton just hasn't been at his best at all since that, and same with Tim English. And I think the first selection I'd make is we have to badly put in Steph Martin. I think, although like Bevo will say, he's somewhat not ready. You don't want to pin all your hope on one, like, in, especially someone who's 34, 35, however old he is. But I think, that kills me. But you have to put him in. And I've got a stat for you, actually, Benny. You'll love this one. So
I love a good stat.
When the Bulldogs have two of our three ruckmen, so Jordan Sweet, Tim English, Steph Martin, this season we're 7-1. If we have two of those playing out of the three, when we have one of those playing out of the three, we're 8-6.
Yeah.
So I think,
but even if it's not just Tim English and you only go the one ruck option, it's a little above 50%.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, so if that doesn't tell you enough, then I just don't know what, like, will. I love Bevo, but I think, like, it just has to be done. And I know it's risky, but like, what's the alternative? Like, our structure at the moment hasn't been working anyway, so like, why would we not try something else if it hasn't even been working the last month?
So I mean, I think everyone sort of agreed on the fact that if Steph Martin can go, he's in. You just read that stat out then. Jordan Sweet's obviously a bit more of an unknown to other people that maybe don't follow the Dogs closely. And he probably doesn't have the effect or the stats maybe that Steph Martin does. But what you're saying is if Steph Martin can't go, you're bringing in Jordan Sweet then, because you need that two ruck option lineup.
Yeah, I definitely am. I've seen Jordan Sweet play a couple of games this season, in particular the Dogs Suns game, which was like earlier on in the
formidable opponents.
Yeah, saying that, like, that, fair enough, but it's still, you're still able to watch him on the field, and his field kicking's like pretty great. So like, obviously he's not going up against a Max Gorn, but like, there's not that many Max Gorns. So I think
you can see the effect it has on the structure.
Yeah, and even like so your ruckman is what, Draper, and is that,
Peter Wright is the backup.
Yeah. Like, but like, look, that's not a Max Gorn. That's like, Jordan Sweet can at least hold his own somewhat against there. But it's, all I'm saying is it's a better alternative than having Bont play ruck in the forward line, which I still think is just one of the dumbest things you can do as a
you don't put the Ferrari in the ruck.
100%. Like, why would you, especially like, the, like, arguably the best player in the comp, getting ruckman's knees in their like legs, ribs, whatever. I found that just, I was just gobsmacked that I was even watching that. To be fair, Bond actually held his own. I think he had some of the best hit out stats out of all of us, of all of the players that played ruck on the weekend. But I think that was just ridiculous. But yeah, for me, if Martin's good to go, I'll bring in Martin for Rourke Smith. And and then I'd bring in Jamara Ugglehagen for Hannon.
Jamara?
Yeah, I think because look.
He played against Essendon, didn't he?
Yeah, he missed that goal from 10 metres out in the first
game. That's right.
Yeah.
It's you don't think the occasion maybe be a little bit too big for him too soon?
Here's my reasoning. So assuming Martin plays. So first of all, if Steph Martin, my counter to being a bit like stressed about Martin's health would be to use the medical sub as like a bit of like just a tactical play and just put in whether it's Lewis Young or just like a Ryan Gardner, whoever that key defender is, just have them as a medical sub. And if Steph Martin just breaks down in the first quarter, you can literally just use that immediately. I just don't really like, I think that would just be a good tactical play in order
what
to
about get though? What about though, in terms of like, if he's fine, he gets through the game and someone else goes down, say like a midfielder or a winger, then you're stuck with going taller.
Yeah.
And you know what happens if that happens a quarter in, you're down a midfield or a wing rotation.
But that's also what happened. Like that's also fine when you've got one of the deepest midfields in the AFL.
That's true. That's true.
Like, and to go back to your Jamara question, I think Mitch Hannon just doesn't really add anything dynamic to our forward line. Although he's a bit of like a just decent foot soldier. Shows flashes. I think he's not a good enough set shot to hold his spot, I'd say, personally. And I think Jamara, if you have Steph Martin in, it means you can play Tim English as a forward. And that means Jamara is probably getting the third string defender. And I think if you're a rookie, I think there's always a chance that those moments, because like they're kind of new to it and they're just like a bit of like a deer in the headlights, they can get a bit excited. And Jamara's like been shown, like he's shown flashes of just being like quite dynamic and just a bit flashy. And I think that could be a difference in a final if he plays a good quarter. And I think like even like the was it the Melbourne game where he kicked that set shot like from Bont, that right foot, I think Jamara came out and led Bont right foot, and then Jamara just like nailed it from 45 directly in front in the fourth quarter.
He kicked the long bomb as well against Gold Coast from the left. That was his first goal. You remember?
Yeah, exactly. That one as well. From the 45 on the left side. Yeah, I just think that would just add a bit of excitement. And I think our forward line has been lacking a bit of energy. And I think although, yes, Jamara's skinny, yes, he can get out-bodied, but he's still 6'6", and you're going to have to put a tall on him. That's
I mean, if you feel like you need a little bit extra height, and it's a similar reason, I suppose, to why I think I'd very much consider Tipper is long as Tipper's not, long as he's breaking even, when he's not touching the footy, he's not allowing them to, allowing the Dogs to exit our forward line easily without a little bit of pressure. If he can bob up, have two goals from his nine touches, but you know, he's keeping the Dogs back line under pressure and he's not allowing them that clean ball like the likes of Daniel and Bailey Dale to just pick targets as they can. That's where you guys set up a lot of your play from as well, outside of the midfield. But that sort of impact, who knows what the scoreline's going to be. Like, it could be 10 goals to 8 goals. And like, if Tipper can bob up for two, it's the same sort of thing for Jamara. Like, he might not touch the ball a bunch, but if he can give you some scoreboard impact and you feel like you can break even enough, then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just think, and sometimes having a bit of like youth in your squad, they just get so much more excited about different things. I think could be really good for him. I think he's shown enough throughout the games that he did play, and especially with Josh Bruce out, to definitely earn himself a spot. And I think that would be the two moves that I'd make if I was Bevo. I'm going to be extremely frustrated tomorrow night if there's no Ruckman in our team. Or we get it Friday, don't we? The Sunday games.
It'll come out on Thursday
with a rough
an
squad.
Extended bench. With an extended bench, and then they'll cut it on Friday afternoon. I saw Bevo in a pre-match interview in the Hawthorn game. He blatantly just said, like, we really need to address our ruck situation.
Again, didn't last week.
Yeah, he didn't. He gave it a crack with Lewis Young. Is it Lewis Young?
Yeah.
He gave it a crack with him. I think he was, maybe he's out on Jordan Sweet and he was just buying time for Steph Martin. Yeah. I'm not sure, but I think he's well aware that that's the situation that needs to be rectified.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Steph Martin did play. Yeah, he did play a practice game on the weekend. I think he played like 3/4 of it and apparently pulled up well. So I'm hoping for the best. What are your, obviously, give like a somewhat prediction of the game. Where's the game won? That's my big question for both teams. And how many does Peter Wright kick?
I don't think it works in Peter Wright's favour, first of all, to be playing someone that he absolutely dominated 3 weeks ago. I think
we didn't have Alex Keith there. So we have Alex Keith. Yeah.
So obviously Keith will be back. That's a massive thing.
Yeah.
But I just think, he's obviously a massive confidence player and he's come down from the Gold Coast and we've sort of established a bit of that confidence in him that like he can be a big part of what like Essendon is trying to achieve. But I wonder if that sort of makes him come into this game thinking like, that's what they're expecting of me now in this game. Like I've got to come out and kick a massive bag.
Yeah.
And, I'd be more than happy if he's like bringing balls to ground, like there's no intercepts going on in our forward line. And he bobs up for 3 goals. That's a great game for me. I just wonder if maybe it gets a little bit in his head. And like you said, Alex Keith is a solid, solid defender and he's not going to have it as easy this time.
And an absolute hog. It's pretty hard to move Alex Keith.
Yeah. But in terms of the game and where I think it's going to be won and lost, I think Essendon at the moment, for them, they really have to win the midfield battle.
Yep.
I think the Dogs have like other avenues to score in terms of like they, like I said earlier, like Bailey Dale and...
Yeah, I was about to say coming off halfback.
Caleb Daniel sort of setting it up with some ball movement and their quick hands. I think they can get by potentially if they don't win the midfield battle. But I think like I said earlier, Essendon kicked 70 points from stoppage and I think we won the clearances by 17 last time we played you. And in the first half, you still had it on your terms. And we only just got over the line. So I think that has to be where Essendon's focus is. I mean, it's sort of been our focus all year though. And in terms of the Dogs, I think it's probably a little bit on Bont's shoulders.
Has to be.
Not in terms of like he's carrying the team, but I think a lot of it needs to just be like, the team needs to see Bont back to being Bont. Like his last 3 weeks have been, he was actually good against Essendon, but he's just like dropped off a bit. And I think the team sort of dropped off with him. And I think if Bont comes out and sort of asserts himself on these finals, people sort of saying, has he gone past Dusty this earlier in this year? Like I'm not even going to assess that conversation until I see something in finals after like what Dusty's done. So, but
to be fair, no one can compare to Dusty.
Yeah, I know. But I think that sort of argument was more like who's now the best in as opposed to like the best overall. I think if Bont comes out and really asserts himself in this game, it goes a long way to the Dogs. Winning the game, obviously. I mean, that's a bit of an obvious statement. But another one I'd probably want to point out is who bobs up for your goals outside Aaron Norton. So, like, Waitman didn't play last time.
Yeah, Waitman's a big one. If you saw last week, he was somewhat like similar to Tipper in a way. Just those small impact plays just get him on like up and about. And just a bit flashy. Just absolutely loves it.
An X factor to the Dogs and sort of like a bit of spark that gets everyone up and about, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So I'd say, yeah, Norton, first of all, like we're going to, I think he really needs to have a big week. Who do you put on Norton?
Well, we put Ridley on him, interestingly, last time we played you, but Bruce played the whole game effectively. As we know, he went down right at, in like the last 5 seconds. So I don't know if that changes that. Norton, I think he kicked like 2 or 3 goals, but he definitely missed like 3 or 4. Yeah. So whether we go back to that, I personally, as an Essendon supporter, don't like seeing Ridley on an opposition player that requires him to literally spend all his time, you know, in his pocket, right by his side, because I think part of the Ridley weapon is obviously his intercept marking and ability to help out others.
And being a bit more like McGovern, more so.
Yeah.
Than,
so,
just like stay on
personally, I wouldn't like to see Ridley, but you know, now that Stewart's maybe freed up, do they give him a crack? I don't think he can go with Norton aerially. I think the one that I would like to see is Jaden Laverde, personally. I think he's had an outstanding year, and I think he's got a really nice athletic profile to go with Norton. Won't say he'll stop Norton, but I think he's probably our best option.
Unfortunately, a lot of what stops Norton is him missing set shots.
Yeah.
Which is a frustrating thing.
Which was a massive thing last time the two teams played, really.
Yeah, it's huge. Well, I remember, I was trying to find the stats.
Bruce and those snaps from the pocket, he kept getting a snap on his right foot, non-dominant foot, for those that don't know, and he cannot snap on his right foot. But he would have had like 4 or 5 shots from there.
I know, Benny. I remember the game. But yeah, there was like some champion data stat. I'm not gonna harp on about the past, but you guys scored like based they calculate how accurate, like basically like every set shot you have, of like what's the likelihood that it, like you kick it or you not or you don't, and basically it's like there's the true accuracy and then there's like the what you actually got, like the average or whatever. You guys like scored like I think it was like 40 or 35 more points than you were expected to score.
Yeah.
And whereas the
it's
dogs
like expected scored, goals in soccer, like based on the amount of shots and the shot type that you're having.
Yeah, exactly.
How many goals does the data expect you to actually kick? So
And we were like 20 points down from our expected score. So hopefully we can kick straight, because losing a game by not kicking straight is one of the worst ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I think the Dogs really need to win it in the clearance game. I think when we've got that bigger ruckman that can just actually just put our midfielders in a better position for the ball, and actually just mean that we're not chasing the oppositions out of the clearance every ball up. I think that's probably huge for us. And yeah, I'd say set shots. We've got to nail them.
Final question.
Yep.
It's two parts to it. I'm not 100% sure that the Dogs do this. Maybe they've done it occasionally, but I don't think they do it massively. Tagging. Any tagging going on potentially? I know the Parrish this year has struggled when being tagged. Jake Stringer sometimes will get a body when he goes into the middle and then gets let go when he goes forward. Are you thinking about tagging anyone, or are you just going to back the midfielders in?
Well, first off, we didn't do much tagging this season. That's the answer to the first bit. Secondly, if I think that we should, I think based on how strong our midfield is, and obviously it hasn't been in the last month, but you still have to back in your players, like, because a season like doesn't just kind of work linear. It's kind of like up and down, because they are they are like, that's why form exists, is it like they are humans. They are up and down throughout the whole season. But do I think that that could be a tactic used maybe in the first quarter to test it out, or second quarter, something like that? You got to be careful with these things. You don't want to get too complicated if you haven't done something all year. But if I'd love to put someone like, which I kind of like him up forward, as well, he plays up forward, but I like Vandermeer. He's just a bit, they call him the shepherd dog. And he's just very, first of all, he's very quick, and he just basically just runs so hard the whole game. And you know when you can just see someone just trying so hard all the time? So like that's like quite impressive. And I'd love to see him running around with someone like Parrish. I think he's got the tank for it, even just for a quarter. But I doubt we do that, but I definitely think it's a tactic that we could suss.
The only reason I asked was, I know a couple of people have asked me in terms of the D's did it to the Dogs, as well as I think Port Adelaide did it as well on the weekend. They sent James Harms and Willem Drew respectively to Libber.
Yep.
And I think it's just not in Ben Rutten's nature to tag. I think he comes from the Richmond system where it's just like, we're going to try and beat you as a collective. And, you know, it's sort of a little bit a topic of conversation at the moment, in terms of like every team seems to have like these key cogs that lead to the team's success. And, you know, I think it's pretty clear for both sides where those cogs are. So
yeah, it could be an interesting tag. I'm interested to see.
We might get to some tagging jobs later on in some other games too.
Yeah, definitely. But the Libber thing is an interesting one. He obviously was heading for All Australian at the start of the first like half of the year, and then kind of fell off a bit for no particular reason. Like he didn't get injured. He got managed for a game, but I think that could be an interesting thing that that Rutten could suss, because it has worked in other games, because he's just been a bit down for like the back end of the season. But to be honest, everyone's been down. Literally, like it's been in the absolute bin, Benny. I've been in the absolute bin.
Before we move on then.
Yeah, we should talk about the other games. and geez, we could keep going.
A prediction for this game.
Okay. Dogs. Oh, it's meant to be wet, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is another massive factor, I think.
Yeah, I think that helps us. Is that what you think?
Yeah, agreed. Yep.
Yep. I'd say Dogs 92. Bombers scores, 77.
Like 92, 77. Quick maths.
Yep.
15 points.
There you go. Bingo.
The number that jumps at me without going scores, I don't have a great feel for how the scoring will be, considering it's a final and down in Tassie, which, you know, we haven't really seen before.
Hey, that's the point of predictions, is you're not meant to know.
I'll go 28 points, the Dogs.
Jeez. Get that out of here, Betty. The early crow.
I think. Yeah, previous finals that Essendon have played in this drought, they've been blown out early. I expect a better performance from the Dons.
Yep.
I think I just don't think the Dogs go four losses in a row, and they were a top four side for a reason. I think they figure it out. They've got the stars on the ground, and like we said, which we probably didn't harp on enough, I think the wet is massive, because I think Essendon, one of the ways we beat you was aerially when we played you last time. And if it's wet, that negates that.
Yeah, 2 meter Peter.
I'll go Dogs 28 points.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 meter Peter doesn't like the slop.
No. But I'll say.
Oh, it's still going.
close for the first half. Okay. And then slowly you work away.
I hope so. I hope so. You're probably more confident than me. Like, you definitely are, actually. all right, let's move on. So, Geelong Port in Port. I think, first off, frustrating missed opportunity for the Cats fans. Although I think they still win this game, I think you're always better off not playing Port in Port. They're a filthy mob. First, quick thoughts on that Melbourne Cats game last week, and then who wins this game of your first initial thought?
I mean, that game last week was just strange as. Like, I couldn't really put my finger on it. It was sort of like Melbourne was dead in the water. Everything Cats touched turned to gold, and then it was almost as if that dead carcass that was Melbourne halfway through the game got a pulse, and then they just snowballed the whole way to the finish line. I think it's the D's fans, they've got a lot to be confident about, I think, in this final series. But we'll get to them later. In terms of initial thoughts on this game, kind of interesting because Port's the only team that's going to get home ground advantage in this first week.
Yeah.
With a crowd too. Oh, I mean, the others have crowd, but home crowd. And Chris Scott actually has a really bad record in qualifying finals.
Yeah.
I believe the only one he's ever won in his tenure was when Isaac Smith had that shot after the siren against Hawthorn and missed.
Which actually saved the Dogs that year because the Cats were rolling the Dogs if we played them in that final series.
Yeah, so he could have lost that one too. So I think potentially it could work out in Geelong's favour that they lost last week in the sense that it's that little switch on that they need.
Yeah.
And I'm just so out on Port Adelaide. I don't think – it's not that I don't think they're a good side. I just, like, there's a clear gap for me between, like, the Melbourne and the Geelongs. And Brisbane actually rounding into some nice form now. And I just can't – they're above the rest, but they're not up with them either.
Even the Dogs?
The Dogs are above them for mine. On their prior form, quite easily, they're in that top echelon. They are in the same echelon as Port based on last week, but I think they've got more scope to go back up to the top than Port Adelaide does.
Good answer.
Got to suck up to the host.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you? Where are your initial thoughts on this game?
Yeah, well, I agree in regards to last week being a good little, like, wake-up call for the Cats.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember correctly, they had the same game Thursday night last year, first week.
They played each other last final series, yep.
Yep, and Port won. I think they fire up for it. I think although Tom Stewart's a big out,
Massive.
Last time you were on the AFL, on the landing with the AFL podcast, you had Tom Stewart. Was it the second most important player?
I think, yeah.
Something like that.
Second sounds right. If not, he was only as low as three.
Yeah. So you had him as a very important player. Bond was one, surely. But I think they've managed to kind of cover for him pretty well. I also think Zach Tui is a pretty big out. One of those more like galvanizing guys. I think I always love him sneaking up forward to kick a snag as well. But
good shot.
Yeah, very good. I think the Cats win this. I think Charlie Dixon has been like quite disappointing. I think he is just a bit of a bully, but there's actually not that much substance behind him, especially this season. And I think the Cats win it. I reckon it's always hard to blow out Port in Port, but I reckon the Cats win it by 22 points.
Okay, yeah. So the interesting thing that pricked my ears first time, when I just heard what you were saying is Charlie Dixon, I made the point here that I think that there's probably two opponents that, I mean, he's inconsistent at the best of times, but there's two opponents that he really, I don't think matches up well against, and that's Melbourne and Geelong. And I think it's just because they've both now got really big season players in their back lines. It's amazing the turnaround that Lockie Henderson's had. And they're both really strong defensively, and he just goes missing. And I really like what Port has around the ground in some other areas, but in the end, you need a source to goal. And if we can sort of sit here and say that we expect him to go missing, then you've got to start looking elsewhere. And then you look up the other end of the ground, which I think is one of the most absurd forward lines, and you have Jeremy Cameron, Tom Hawkins, Gary Rowan. So are you going to be able to match that? And so I think, yeah, if Charlie Dixon can come out and if he can kick, let's go, three goals even in this game, I think Port can win.
Okay, that's fair. I'm going to ask you a question quickly. So obviously over the years, Geelong have always copped a bit for their ruck situation.
Yeah.
I personally rate Scott Lysette extremely highly. I think he's a very old school ruckman, very physical, gets those little niggly hits.
He's a Shane Mumford type, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%. Do you think that could be a really important part of this game for Port? And do you think they could somewhat expose Geelong in that aspect of the game?
I think they're going to have to tap into that. When you play a game of football, you don't get to choose the areas of the ground that you're going to have an advantage in.
Yeah.
You might be strong in the midfield. Doesn't matter if the other team's strong too in the midfield. So you've got to find an area that you can get an edge. And I think that if Geelong has a strong forward line, for example, how do you stop that? Well, if you've got dominance in the ruck, are you able to get the ball to your midfielders to win the center clearance and then set up defensively behind the ball and lock that ball into your forward line and create forward pressure that way? So I think that if Scott Lysette can get on top in the middle, that is definitely going to have to be one thing that Port's going to have to really try and tap into. And from Scott Lysette's point of view, he's got to really have a big game, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. How many goals do you reckon the big three Geelong forwards kick? Let me rephrase that question. How many do you think they need to kick to win this game?
Well, they probably only need to kick like eight.
Yep.
Geelong, as much as they've got the ability to probably light up the scoreboard, that's just not how they play. Chris Scott refuses to let them open up. It's dour ball movement. It's possession. They believe in the fact that if they can slowly plug their way down the field through kicking, they can set up defensively behind the ball, and they just back their defensive structures in that you're not going to be able to score against them. I think if you ask me how many I think they will kick, I think 10. I think you get four from the two key forwards and then two from Gary Rowan.
Yeah.
And already that's a pretty good head start in terms of what Port's going to be able to kick. I think, that's a massive part of why I think Geelong can win this game.
Yeah. Anyway, so just to confirm, you do think Geelong will win? And you think?
I think Geelong will win this game. Yeah, I toot and froed just because of their previous record in finals and potentially They sort of might need their backs up against the wall to sort of kick into gear, but it'll be close. As you said, you can't blow out Port, but yeah, I think Geelong win this game.
Yep.
They're too experienced and seasoned bodies that you can definitely rely on in finals.
Yep. All right, should we move on to the next game? Or do you have anything else?
No, I think we touched on most things there. I think it'll be interesting also just, as you mentioned before, to just sort of really get a good look at how Geelong look without Tom Stewart as well. So,
yeah.
Because, yeah, he's this year just been superb.
Yep. Okay, we'll move on. So, is it the first game in Tasmania, like, ever, isn't it? Finals game, sorry?
Finals-wise?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
So, in the first finals game in Tasmania, we've got the Swans versus the Giants. Straight off the bat,
game this one.
I'm extremely keen for this game. Extremely keen for it. I think the Giants win. I'm keen to have this conversation actually. So, I know that we're both big Toby Green fans. I think
I drive the Toby Green train, mate. Love that bloke.
All aboard! No, but I just think the Tasmania stadium, based off just the Dogs playing against Hawthorn there, and just how it automatically makes it a pretty scrappy game. I think it suits the Giants so much. I think and similar to kind of how the rain does not suit the Bombers, I think the Tasmania does not suit the Tasmania, like, weather and whole kind of like terrain, I'll say, does not suit the Swans.
They're playing on a mountain range, are they?
Yeah, they are.
I actually agree. And it's funny we say that because what's been synonymous with the Swans for so many years, it's been contested footy. It's been the fact that they're in and under, hard.
You, Benny.
They season bodies that had plenty of finals experience. The SCG is always like, whether it's wet, it's still
always just a slop.
Whether it's wet or not, yeah, like you said, even if it's dry, it's somehow wet. and this team is not. They're close to the best ball movement. They're definitely the best kicking side, I reckon, in the AFL. Just edging the Dogs, just because I think they can do it outside of Marvel a bit better.
Yep.
And they just the complete opposite of what everyone would associate with the Swans in like the past, like pretty much since their early grand final back-to-back with the Eagles in 05-06.
Yeah.
So I do agree with you there that I think that the conditions down there will play into GWS's hands.
Yeah. I'll also add Swans have had a few stiff injuries later on in the year as well. With Blakey obviously being out. And then Mills and Kennedy, I believe, are still questionable.
Kennedy had a hamstring, so I think you can pretty well put a line through him. Mills, they're not going to put a line through all the way up until before the game, but
the Achilles,
I saw him running around. His Achilles is just cooked, so I don't expect Mills to play. Too much of a risk.
So they're three huge outs.
Massive.
Especially Kennedy in a game like this with the young Swans. I would love to see Buddy fire up. That would be my counter to, because I'm properly actually going for the Giants for this game. Even though I'm a Dogs fan, it's the biggest rivalry in the league. but I really do think the Giants win this game, and I just don't. I honestly just, for some reason, I just don't see the Swans winning this game. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating because they went 1-1 this year, the Swans and the Giants. The first one was just a grind the whole game. And I think the first time they played is going to be a lot similar to what happened now. Teams were a bit similar to what we can expect. And I think the way that game went in terms of they both had plenty of opportunity to win that game, it was contested. And in the end, the Giants came out on top of on that one. The second one, I don't know if you remember, but that was the one where I think some of the players, whilst they were in Melbourne, they went to the rugby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is when, like, there was no players playing.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden, an hour before the game, they're like, they've pulled half the team for both sides. So you've had, like, no Toby Green played in that one. You had, like, no obviously, Mills isn't going to be playing. He was pulled, but they had others for both sides.
Yeah.
So that game, I read a little bit less into, but one thing that I will say is in the first half of that game, Sam Taylor killed Buddy.
Yeah.
He dominated him, and the Giants were able to get out to, I don't know, it was 5-goal lead, give or take.
Yeah.
And in the second half, the Swans found a way to get Buddy into it, and he single-handedly pulled them back. I think...
I remember that.
I think Sam Taylor this year, this is another comment I'll just make. I think he would have been, if he played a full season, he would have been the All-Australian centre-half back.
Wow.
If he had played a full season. I think he's fantastic and will be one of the best key position players in the AFL for a long time. But for the Swans to win, they need Buddy to be like he was in the second half.
Yeah.
If he can do that, then...
Yeah, I think, look, my kind of hesitations with the Swans in this game is just based on, it just seems that scoring in Tasmania is pretty hard. Just based on just it's either violently windy or pouring with rain. but I think unless the Swans can kind of like really like step on the Giants' throat in the first quarter and be like, all right, look, we're because talent wise, like the Swans should win this game. Like they should win it, but I just think in regards to just the Tasmania just being a bit of a like more gritty style of game, like start like game style, I think the Giants, if they can kind of kick the first couple or just get a bit of confidence for those younger blokes, I think they just win a gritty game.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. The other thing that I would say is just, I'm not sure who plays on Toby Green. I'm not sure that they have a matchup for Toby Green. Dane Rampey, I think, is capable, but you still have to man up on the Giants' tools.
Well, I think a lot of it is that, like, first of all, not many people in the league can guard Toby Green and actually be successful. But I think it probably has to be Rampey. You have to, like, you might have to give up playing him on a tall, but like Toby's is way more damaging.
Yeah. First of all, you are right. No one can beat Toby. What I should have said is who can stop Toby from kicking six? And if you can get Toby to, 15 touches, 2 goals, maybe that's going to go a long way for the Swans. But it'll be interesting to see, like you said, I think that's a great move. Bite the bullet, sacrifice potentially giving away a little bit of height to the Giants' tools because they're not studs. They don't have a Buddy. They don't have a Harry Mackay. And if do your absolute best to eliminate Toby's influence on the game as much as you possibly can.
Well, yeah, who else would you play? Would it be like someone like Dawson?
I think Dawson for them has actually been amazing in the back sort of quarter part of the year. He's been good all year, but particularly the back quarter part of the year. Can I think he sets up so much play for them.
Yeah, so you don't
want to
shoot yourself.
A few years back, Rampey was like quite good offensively as well, but I think that part of his game is gone now. So I think Rampey is probably, you got to remember, like Toby Green pretty much plays as a centre half forward.
Yeah.
So you got to have some height. You can't just go in terms of like the player's height. If you go like someone the same size as Toby, he'll torch them in the air.
Yeah.
So I think Rampey is probably their best bet. I'm just thinking they'll have to put probably then Tom McCartan on Jesse Hogan.
Yeah.
I
could see Hogan having a good game, actually.
it probably depends a little bit on conditions too.
But he's kind of like a bit, like he's not like a big, big forward. He can play a bit more on the ground. So I think that would kind of suit him if the conditions aren't great.
When he was at the absolute peak of his powers at Melbourne, we didn't really see any of it when he went to Freo. But
I wouldn't say peak of powers. It wasn't like, that's not exaggerated.
He still kicked like, what, 40 goals in his first season of AFL footy?
Yeah. No, but like, it's
peak of power. What I mean is everyone has peak of powers.
It's not something I'm about.
When Jesse Hogan was at his best.
Yeah, okay.
We'll say.
Much better.
His tank and one of his massive strengths was the fact that he would drag you all the way up to the back flank, and then he would run back and he would just burn
the Jeremy Cameron type deal.
And the difference is if you go an athletic key position player, the bloke's still the size of a fridge. So so he's got that nice mix. And I think hopefully he can get a nice run at it injury-wise. He could be quite good for them next year. But to take that out of it and get back to the game a little bit, I think I'm with you in that I think the Giants, this game's going to be close.
Yeah,
the whole way. I think low scoring as well. I'll say the Giants by a couple of goals.
Yep. All right, I'm going to say Giants. But did I already give a score?
You definitely already said the Giants, but you can give a score again if you want. If you want to,
I'm going to say Giants by 19. After that, an intense analysis. All right, let's move on to the final game. Melbourne versus Brisbane. At Adelaide Oval Saturday night. Who wins this game, Benny?
Who wins it?
Yep.
Oh, I can't go past the Demons at the moment. They're my flag pick. I'm sure we've got some.
That's a weird way to say the Western Bulldogs.
Oh, actually, I did forget to mention a stat for the Dogs. Obviously, I picked you guys to win this weekend. In terms of the Dogs for the flag, though, no team has ever won the flag after losing their final three games of the home and away season.
Wow.
So they will be making history if they were to do it now.
Might just have to.
They did it a few years ago when they beat the Swans in the final. Back to D's Lions. I'm going to go with the D's. Just, I think that too many runs on the board, not two. The Lions, I worry about them potentially. I was quite happy for them to get out of fifth spot. I worry about playing the Lions at the Gabba. But you get the Lions away from the Gabba.
Was the Gabba a choice?
Sorry?
Were you able to pick a final at the Gabba?
The Lions were able, yeah. What, the Lions were able to play.
Why didn't the Dogs pick the Gabba?
I don't think they wanted to play there.
Yeah, no, because we wanted to play in Adelaide, but I'd much prefer to play at the Gabba than Tasmania.
I was quite happy there. Essendon has an awful record in Queensland. But, yeah, so once you get Brisbane away from the Gabba, I think that is a large part in terms of they're a different team, I think.
Yeah. I think momentum-wise, that's the big one.
They ride a lot on that crowd. Yeah. I think you only have to look at the fact that that game, the way that game went on the weekend, how hectic was that?
Oh, don't remind me. I literally just recovered from Friday.
I dead set forgot that had implications for the Dogs.
Oh, Benny, it was the worst weekend of football in my life. It was insane. I literally had finally got out of bed and like I didn't even watch the first half. Then Ethan called me into the living room and was like, dude, the Lions need to score 111 points and they're only on 94. Like the Dogs could still make top four. I come in and then just get my heart broken again. It was awful. Then that she went back into bed. It was awful.
There would have been so many times for a dog supporter that weekend where it's just like kick a person whilst they're down or like rub salt in the wounds. I'm already dead. Leave me be.
Yeah, dead set. So go on.
Yeah, so I think and really the main point I'm tipping the D's to just go away from the Lions for a second is the fact that they have a fantastic record against the top eight this year. They have beaten the sides when they needed to. They're coming into finals with some form after that. Sort of they had a small lean period two-thirds of the way through the season where people started to question their forward line setup, and I think they've settled that down since they brought Ben Brown back in.
Yep.
And I think for me, away from the Gabba, like I said, I'll tip the D's maybe by 17.
Yep. Don't mind that.
Where are you going?
I'm going the Lions. I think they're flying at the moment. I think... Oh, look, I would like be like obviously way more confident if Hipwood was playing, but I think Joe Danaher is playing with a lot of confidence, which is always kind of good to say. He's really lifting them up, and I think if they can get Danaher and Cameron both firing, they're arguably like two of the more just like kind of momentum players, for a team like in the league. I think if they're so good to watch and they're so flashy, whether it's a big mark, whether it's the speed or like a chase down tackle by Charlie Cameron or something like that. But I think they're just a bit more dynamic than the D's. But where the D's can absolutely torch, I think, is obviously the midfield. I think I'm very on Max Gawn. I think this will be a close game, but I think based on Brisbane firing, and I'm not just going to, obviously, Melbourne came back last week, but they still went down 44 points. So, which they wouldn't want to do that in the final. And I'm not saying, I don't think Brisbane are as damaging as the Cats. Oh, to be fair, they're a very high scoring team, but I think Brisbane win this game by 9 points.
Brisbane or Melbourne?
Brisbane.
Tipping the lines. Okay, I like that. I've got a couple things for you.
Yep.
So, first of all, I'm a massive believer, as the listeners will remember from my rankings earlier this year, that Lever is so key to what Melbourne does. I think his intercept game allows Melbourne to have clean possession when the ball comes in, whether it's into their back line or if they're set up behind the ball once the ball's in their forward line.
Yeah.
He then gives them clean possession, whether he's giving the ball, using it himself or giving it to the likes of Rivers or Salem or even Stephen May potentially. And I think, yeah, so pretty much he's massive. So for me, the question I want to ask you is, would you consider if you're a Brisbane Lions supporter or if you were Chris Fagan, playing a defensive forward on Jake Lever?
I would not. I think the game is going to be won in, obviously, look, Jake Lever and Stephen May are two of the like best at doing it in regards to like just marking contests and just not letting the ball get to ground. But I think, again, it's similar to what we were saying earlier, is that I think you can give up too much if you try and like do that tagging type deal or the defensive forward type deal. Like I somewhat put them under the same umbrella. And I think I would prefer to see, so who would you put on Danaher out of May or Lever?
May.
May? And then who would Lever be like looking after?
Well, yeah, it would be May or Petty to Danaher. I think it's probably going to be May. I just think you're running a risk if you're putting Petty on Danaher. Danaher's still a fantastic player. Melbourne will do their absolute best to get Lever on the Demons' weakest to get Lever on the Lions' weakest forward.
Yeah.
Because they want him to not have to worry about who he's playing on. So they probably will put Petty onto McStay. And then Lever's probably going to find himself on someone like a
Lincoln
McCarthy potentially.
That's what
So I think it's really important that if I was Chris Fagan, I would try and get McStay onto Lever. If Petty comes with you, then you break even. You literally, you're not even trying to like mark the ball. You're telling like Charlie Cameron, you're telling Lincoln McCarthy, you're telling Zach Bailey, like, I'm not trying to mark this ball. I'm just trying to bring it to ground.
Yeah. And then let
the
and the Zorkos and the Archies just go about it.
Yeah. Cause I think you can beat Melbourne on the ground in their forward line. I think that's the best avenue to beating them. But if you give the ball back, you don't stand a chance. Like you said, you sacrifice giving something away there, but how much is Daniel McStay going to give you in a final? Is probably the question I'm going to ask myself.
He played pretty well last week.
He did. That's true. But like the hope is like you find yourself eventually in a little bit of space, you're still able to contribute. Like you're not that's just your main focus, I would say. Like, you know, taggers, when they run through the middle, they still get clearances. They still, but I think that's probably what I would do.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see someone like Mitch Robinson go on Lever.
It would be. And I think he'd be fantastic at it because he would annoy the shit out of
it. Yeah, exactly. Just like those niggly like bumps and they're just chatting in his ear the whole game.
Talk some fat shit.
Because they're two ins for Brisbane this week, Mitch Robinson and Harris Andrews. They're massive.
Oh, crucial ins, especially Harris Andrews.
Yeah.
I think he'll I won't expect much from Ben Brown if Harris Andrews is playing on him.
Ben Brown's trash. He's so trash.
He's found a little bit of form, I'll give it to him, but I probably put a fair bit of it down to the fact that the Demons just get so much supply forward.
Yep.
The one person that I would tag from a Melbourne perspective is Dane Zorko. And maybe it's not necessarily like he's not a Bontempelli or a Dustin Martin or anything by any stretch. He's not like one of these top five players in the comp that are just like, they're going to absolutely tear you apart. Like he has games like that, but he's not one of those. But I have seen on far too many occasions when he's been tagged, particularly in, I've got these vivid images from when the Suns play him. He legitimately, it gets in his head and he worries about the man. He starts like retaliating, gives away dumb free kicks.
Yeah.
And he's actually super important for them in terms of scoring involvements. And I think Melbourne has the perfect player for him. I would send James Harms to Dane Zorko.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot, actually. Because Zorko is very dangerous. He's very crucial to how they play. And he's arguably like especially how Neil's been traveling this year, he's arguably like the top three player in their team, like arguably like second.
Oh yeah, probably along with like McCluggage, would you say?
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, like it'd be like Lyons, McCluggage, Zorko, like I know, like borderline in regards to experience wise, you'd probably put Zorko above them.
Oh yeah, he's won like, I think he's won four best and fairest out of the Lions. Like,
yeah, he's a jet. I actually really like that, Ben.
If he were to win the BNF this year, like, think about how many people at any club have five best and fairest. Like, that's pretty rarefied air.
Yeah, you might have to write that move into Simon Goodwin. I reckon you'd love that. but yeah, so you have like Melbourne. What did you say? It was a close game. Like, what two goals did you say?
I think I went 17 points in the end for the Ds. Okay.
I reckon it's closer than that. I reckon it's within 10 points.
It could be. Margin's a bit irrelevant to me. I just have days getting just across the line. I think I don't really see any of them having blowout potential except for the Essendon and Dogs one if like Essendon didn't turn up.
Yeah.
But these other teams, they're just they play a brand of football, and you just know that they're going to give a certain level of performance that is not going to allow the other team, I think, to be able to
do what they want,
just completely get a hold of them and do what they want.
Well, I reckon that concludes our finals analysis. That was very nice, a nice hour and a half, I think that was. Thanks for coming on, Benny. Oh, first off, I can't believe we didn't mention the package. How did we not mention him once? I'll tell a little anecdote now is that I've got on my Bulldog scarf. So I was a big Jack Stringer fan when he was at the Dogs, like massive, like literally dead set. At one point, I liked him more than Bont. Like fully in like probably like 2015. And then
so just before Bont became like proper Bont though.
Yeah. Like Bont was literally like 19, 20, but like Jack Stringer, I just loved him. Just absolutely loved him. But anyway, when he moved to the Bombers, I did this thing 2 years ago when I went to a game, I'd buy the badge of my favorite player on the opposition team. And I had the Jack Stringer badge, the Bombers won. But geez, I've taken it off this week and I've hidden it. I just know if the Dogs lose, I'm not going to like, I'm probably going to peg that across the street and get it run over by a car. But yeah, I'm off the package this week, but I reckon he's cast. He won his flag at the Dogs and I think he's done.
fingers crossed for a good game.
I just hope
we get four crackers.
Yeah.
And we get some good semifinals after that. And
yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for coming on, Benny.
Always.
Good luck for this weekend. May the better team win.
Definitely. 100%.
Thanks, Benny.